Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing here today? Hey, do you know there's an election next Tuesday? That's right. You know, we had five candidates for the Senate seat for Billy O'Dell, Senate seat number four, that ran, back on the 22nd? And guess what? We ended up with two. Not a surprise. Not a surprise that we ended up with extras, an extra election, a runoff. But we are here today. Next Tuesday is the election, and I have I put calls out to both Mike Gambrell, who of course is in the House and running for that Senate seat, and I put a call into Rocky Burgess, and Rocky got right back with me. And at this point, it doesn't look like, unless we can do a pre-record with Mike Gambrell, that he's going to make it. He had originally scheduled for tomorrow afternoon, but had to change. So we do have Rocky here today. Rocky Burgess, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Miss Hiller. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Now, you're from little town called Williamston.
That's correct. We're slap dab between Anderson and Greenville, and it's good to be in the Emerald City today.
Well, I just got to ask you a little bit about yourself. Now, where are you from, Williamston? Where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Williamston, and lived there all of my life, with the exception of the time I spent in the military, and got a business there, wife, family, the whole gamut. So certainly enjoy Williamston. I enjoy the small town aspect of Williamston.
Now, how big is Williamston?
Williamston City, which, by the way, I currently serve on City Council, just under 5,000 we have there, population.
Okay, 5,000.
That's correct.
Now, you're on the City Council there. You were in the military. When you went to college?
I actually went, my parents were unable to afford to send me to college, and I knew that growing up. I grew up on the Mill Hill, so very meager beginnings, and so I joined the military in hopes that I would be able to go to college, and they would help to send me to college. And the recruiter was very good at telling me that, oh yeah, you can go to college while you're serving the military. And for those of you who are thinking about doing that, go in the Air Force, don't go in the Army, because in the Army, it's pretty rare that you get a chance to take college courses while you're there. So once I got out, I did sign up and go to college at Southern Wesleyan, and took several courses there, spent almost a year, and life took over, and ended up starting a business, and was unable to finish college. But yes, I do have some college.
Well, you have life experience.
I've got real life experience, most definitely.
Now, what did you want to be when you were growing up? Just out of curiosity, I always ask this question.
And that's a good question. I've always thought that I wanted to be a police officer, and I was able to fulfill that dream. I was a sheriff's deputy for almost 11 years at the Anderson County Sheriff's Office. I was a master deputy whenever I left, and I also worked in the schools as a school resource officer. So I got a chance to meet a lot of interesting people, and certainly enjoyed that position. That was my first position, I guess, in public service, and being able to actually make a difference in my community.
What makes you want to go down to the Senate and serve? You look at the Senate down there, although they've been doing a little better. They've been passing a few things down there recently, but basically it always seems to be a boondoggle down there. The House passes stuff, but not the Senate.
Well, if you look at the Senate is a more, I guess you would call it a more deliberative body. It's set up that way. I agree, we got a lot of old guard there that are set in their ways. They don't want any changes, and it seems like the electorate, we keep doing the same old things over and over and over and expecting a different outcome, and as you know, that's the definition of insanity. So certainly I want to make a difference. I see a lot of stuff happen on the state level that affects me and local government. And I see our government, you know, our founding fathers started it out as a republic that was of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I don't see a whole lot of that on state level anymore. Seems like it's of me, by me, and for me. And I hope to be able to make a difference and change that for the good of everybody, the good of my business, my family, and certainly your citizens here in Greenwood.
Now, of course, one of the problems that I would say that you might be having here in Greenwood is name recognition.
Name recognition is key in any kind of public office. There's no doubt about that. We've done a we had a very, very short amount of time and at the time I announced for this special election to be able to get some name recognition out there. We've done, obviously, some signs and things of that nature. We have done a whole lot of phone calls and door knocking. I'm sure most of your listeners have gotten at least a phone call or a door knock from me, and I certainly appreciate you taking those phone calls and door knocks.
So I guess one of the questions that, of course, a lot of people from Greenwood have a question about is how are we going to be represented in a district that is very skewed towards Anderson and that area and not much coming into the Greenwood area?
It sure is. That's one of the biggest questions that I get and comments and statements from the people in the Greenwood area is we like you. We like your message. We like what you have to say. But when you get in, are you going to forget about Greenwood? And I do value Greenwood, and I think that Greenwood is a very important part of Senate District 4 and is certainly one that should not be overlooked. I know Senator O'Dell lived in this area, and that was very important. You guys had some direct representation here that you could, you know, you knew and you could contact. I want to extend that same representation to Greenwood as Senator O'Dell did. And I've went so far as to offer my personal cell number. I don't know too many politicians that will do that. But I answer that phone, 2 o'clock in the morning. I might not be too happy when I answer the phone at 2 a.m, but if you've got something that pressing that you need to call me, feel free to do so. And we can display, broadcast that number when you get
sure.
ready.
Well, what's your telephone
sure
number?
Sure, it's 864-844-2400. 864-844-2400. Very easy number to remember.
That's right. And please don't call him right now while we're on the air, though. Okay. But as you're thinking about this office and thinking about the person you're running against, you are running against Mike Gambrell. What in a one sentence, because then we're going to hear a word from our sponsors and we're going to come back and we're going to dissect a lot more of these things. What is the one thing that you think you offer superior to what Mike could offer at this point?
The one thing that I know that I can offer is, number one, I'm in touch with the people here. I feel like I understand our district. I understand the district's values, and I want to bring that voice to Columbia. And I think that Mike has been up there too long. He's out of touch with the values of the district, and I think that's the one thing that I could certainly bring to Columbia.
So it's the fact that you are in touch. You can see, I guess you must consider yourself one of those outsiders, huh?
Only in Greenwood. As a politician. Absolutely. We have active politicians that are actively campaigning for Mike Gambrell, and that's okay. That's their right as Americans. But yes, I am up against an establishment and up against a machine that we've all created in Columbia. So. I'm definitely the underdog in it, politically.
Politically. You know, one of the things that Mike says is that it's going to be a lot easier for him because he's been in government. He's been in the House. What do you have to say? In fact, he's been in the House, I believe, for 10 years.
My question is, what has he done in the House? It's easy to sit and warm a seat in the House. It's a lot different to stir the pot as it needs to be stirred at some points in time. And to stand up for the voice of your district. And so that's a very difficult thing to do. It takes a lot of courage to do that, to stand up against your leadership, to stand up against the establishment and say, no, we're not doing that, or we need to be doing it this way.
How is that response met with, whether you're in Anderson or Greenwood or Abbey, how has that been met?
I think people are sick and tired of doing the same old thing over and over and over. And if you look at it on the national level, the state level and the local level, people are sick and tired of doing the same old things over and over and over, and they're tired of the same politicians they keep putting into office. And I think this is really going to be a turning point this year, and particularly for the Senate. I think there are going to be some quite a bit of good, qualified conservative candidates that are going to step up to the plate and offer themselves as to be a voice for the people of South Carolina.
Well, I know I quickly saw the list. It closed today.
It closed
today at lunchtime, and I quickly saw the list. I think there's over 1,000 people that are running, and over 500 are Republicans. 466 comes to mind for the Democratic side. So there is going to be a lot of churning out there.
Sure, I'm sure there will be. I haven't researched as far as you have.
The numbers.
I do know there's been two filers, Republicans, for the Senate District 4 race, and that closed out yesterday. And obviously, that's myself and Representative Gambrell. But there was one other unique one that was, I thought was very unique, is Mark Powell, former candidate in this special election, has filed as a Democrat. So that was very unique.
Yeah, and he was a Republican over here earlier in the primary. So you're right. In fact, I talked to Mark, and he was down in Mexico.
Sure.
I was talking to him.
Right.
So very interesting.
At least he had the courage to come on your show and answer the tough questions.
He did. He did. And I appreciated that very much. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're with Rocky Burgess. He is in an election for Senate seat on Tuesday. Now, Rocky, I think one of the things that's important for people to know, it's not everybody is not voting in this. Can you tell us what parts are part of the election process here in Greenwood?
Basically, my understanding, and the lines are very, very unclear. There's no rhyme or reason to it, but I would give you this resource. If you go to Google and search Find My SC Legislator,
mm-hmm.
You'll come up to a .gov or .sc webpage.
Right.
You can put in your address, and it will tell you. If you come up Senate District 4 and it's blank, you're in, and you can vote. I will add to that, if you come down 25, headed from Greenville down into Greenwood, on the right-hand side when you enter into Greenwood County, all the way to 72, and anything on the right-hand side, that is traditionally Senate District 4.
Sure.
But just to be on the safe side,
definitely
search it.
Definitely covers Gatewood, Hunter's Creek.
Sure.
Creekside. I mean, it covers all those areas right
there. It certainly does. And keep in mind for your listeners, too, this is in the 70s, I believe it was, you had to vote in the election to be able to vote in the runoff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. This is open to anybody, Democrat, Republican, Independent, no matter what you are.
Because this is still a primary.
That's correct. As long as you live in Senate District 4, you can absolutely vote on Tuesday, April the 5th.
That's right. So if you would like to vote, if you'd like to find out more about Rocky, where do you look?
You can find me on the web at www.rockyburgess with an E-Y. Make sure you put the E in there. That's a little hiccup. I have no idea why my mother named me that. Or why she put the E in there, but she did. And that E's very, very important. You can reach us there and also on Facebook at Rocky Burgess, B-U-R-G-E-S-S.
All right, so check those out. Now, you are, of course, what do you think for yourself as far as the issues? Being on city council in Williamston, is that right?
Sure.
Do you have city and county or just city?
Just city.
Just city, okay. We have both here in Greenwood. We have a city and a county.
Well, we're in Anderson County, but we're Williamson City.
Yeah. Now, as far as what do you think is one of the key issues that we're looking at, if you are so lucky to get the Senate seat here, what would you be looking at as a key issue for our area and on Anderson, but for this whole area?
Sure. For counties as well as municipalities, any local government is where the rubber meets the road, if you will.
Well, we have a problem with the road, so that may be another problem.
Well, we can certainly delve into that too a little bit later, but the local government fund is a very, very important part of your local government.
That's where we give money that goes to the state, and then the state is supposed to give it back, and they don't.
That's correct.
Right,
and also the state has mandates that they require you, municipal government as well as your county governments, to abide by. And they tell you, don't worry about it, though. You know, no problem with this stormwater issue, because we're gonna send money your way in the form of the local government fund, which is your tax dollars. And the problem is, since 2008, as you know, we went through the Great Recession,
mm-hmm.
and the local government fund was one of the first things to be cut.
Well, the state needed that money.
Well, absolutely. You know, there was cuts across the board, so everybody kind of certainly understood. And as a municipal elected official, I wasn't there in 2008, but I certainly understood. The problem that I've got is the economy has rebounded somewhat to a point to where our state has a $1.2 to $1.5 billion budget surplus. That's with a B. That's a lot of money.
That is.
As you know, Greenwood City just capped out their millage and had a massive tax increase that most likely would not have been even on the table or discussed had local government been fully funded. Currently, local government is, they've bumped it back up to, it's around 70%. But to put that in perspective, Greenwood County, that's to the tune of about a little over $2 million. That's a good chunk of change that certainly would be helpful in doing the operations of the county of Greenwood. And in my opinion, most likely Greenwood City would not have had to have that tax increase. So it's real easy for the guys in Columbia to say, we haven't raised your taxes, but by the way, we just forced your local municipal elected officials to raise taxes. The local folks get the brunt beating of that increase in taxes, when it should actually be the state people who are taking some of that as well.
By the way,
that state statute that says they have to fund local government and what percent they fund local government. So
it's not optional.
It's not optional. No.
Should they have to pay back? Should they have to pay back what they kept over time, or is this on a yearly basis? It starts over every year.
I would not support paying back, and the reason being is, you don't want to break the state government.
Right.
There were less revenue coming into the state at that time during 2008, during that period. However, there's no reason whatsoever. It's unconscionable for our state legislature not to be fully funding local government as well as public education.
All right. So they will be. So that's one of the things that you feel would make a big difference if we were able to get the money back here. And that would be one of the things you would be working on.
It would make a huge difference. You don't believe me? Ask your municipal and county elected officials what kind of impact that the not funding local government fund has had on their operations.
Sure. So that would be, I guess, number one thing for you. Now, how much do you think that they're going to fund this year? Have we heard? I don't know.
I haven't heard even any budget discussions yet. I think the House budget is just now coming out and being reviewed. I don't know where they stand on that.
So, and whether there's a will to send more of it back.
Well, pick up, the will belongs to the people. Pick
it
up
does?
The phone, call your legislature. It should.
Right.
It should belong to you people. Pick
right.
up the phone, call your legislature, put some pressure on them. Let them know.
Yeah. So that is something you definitely can do. And whether it's the House or the Senate, both offices would be working on both parts of the budget.
Sure.
Absolutely. All right. What else would you look at and say, this is important for me to push for, work with, et cetera?
Ethics reform.
Ethics.
House and Senate.
Well, we got a big issue going on, the ethics. I think we ought to save that one till we come back after the break and talk about ethics. Many people may not be up to speed as what is happening on the ethics issue right now, so we'll talk about that one when we come back. Rocky, you are also, I know, concerned about our communities. Anderson is a huge area for you. How have you been doing up there in Anderson?
So far, we've done really well in Anderson. And you're right, Senate District 4 overall is a huge, huge area. I dropped off signs about a week or so ago, and we created a route. We've got a program that creates routes. We put in the addresses. There might have been 50 addresses that we need to drop signs off to. And so we did a big loop around Senate District 4, and it was 523 miles that day. So
523 miles?
One day.
Wow. All right. It's time for South Carolina Radio News. We are here with Rocky Burgess. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help. From McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, Well, that's right. We're right back here this afternoon. I am with Rocky Burris, and he is running for Senate seat 4. So if you are in his district, he and Mike Gambrell are going up against each other on Tuesday. And it'll be your opportunity to make your choice. Now, one of the things you have to do, though, you have to be informed about the issues and everything. And Rocky has agreed to come in and sit down and talk with me. And if you've got a question, of course, you can give us a call, 229-7984. But so far, we do not have Mike scheduled to come in with us, which I think is unfortunate. But Rocky's here today, so we're going to be talking to Rocky. And, of course, when I first introduced you, Rocky, I called you Rocky Balboa, but I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that. But you certainly seem like a fighter.
We can fight when we have to.
What do you think? Now, you wanted to talk about the ethics issue, and just for those that aren't up to speed, there was an ethics investigation. I think everybody remembers Bobby Harrell. What happened there? Our attorney general recused himself from it, appointed a special prosecutor, David Pascoe, and then, according to Alan Wilson, our state's attorney, he had decided to remove David from that position because of some controversy about whether he should be investigating or opening up some cases. Now, he did appoint somebody else. Fifth Sixth Circuit Solicitor Dan Johnson has been appointed. However, Dan Johnson at this point has says he's not taking over the investigation until the cloud with David Pascoe. Gosh, this sounds like interesting soap opera stuff.
It does. It sounds very much like soap opera stuff. Here's the deal on ethics. Our citizens, and as a conservative, I demand that my government be efficient, it be transparent, and it be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When the Senate and the House, which, by the way, is the only bodies in state government that's allowed to police themselves, when they police themselves, there is absolutely no way, and it's very disingenuous for anybody to suggest otherwise, that they can be they can police themselves and not show favoritism or do it effectively. As a municipal elected official, if you lodge a complaint against me, you file with the State Ethics Commission. That State Ethics Commission is an independent body. They don't know me. Mm-hmm. They don't care what title I hold or anything else. They look at it, the facts, and they look at it objectively, and they're able to make a determination as to whether my actions were appropriate or they were in violation of the law. It's very, very difficult for a House or Senate Ethics Committee, some of which the members may actually be a subordinate to the leadership that mm-hmm. they're investigating.
Right.
So I think it's very disingenuous to suggest that we can possibly have any true meaningful ethics reform without having the House and Senate looked at by an independent body, such as the State Ethics Commission. And I think that's a trickle-down effect, too, on a lot of different aspects of our state government. Nobody trusts, or very few people trust, their federal, state, or local officials, and that's a shame. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, you know, I think you're right, and if it is a question about whether something was ethically done or not, how can you actually police yourself?
I find it very difficult to do that. I mean, if you work with the same people that you're policing every day, I just don't see how you can be objective. I really don't.
Well, question. Would Bobby Harrell been in the hot water that he was in had they kept it as an internal investigation? With all the power that Bobby Harrell held?
My guess is probably not. I would say if the media had not had the information they had and there wasn't just overwhelming evidence mm-hmm. Of clear violations, that probably would have been swept under the rug, would be my guess.
Yeah. So now, where are we at as far as the ethics down there? They have not made that decision yet. Aren't they still in limbo on that?
The House submitted a bill last year, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm new to state-level politics. So I'm having to do my research as I go. But I do know the House submitted a bill last year that went to the Senate, and it went absolutely nowhere. And I think the governor did a very good job in calling the senators out right in the middle of the state address. She called them out and said, look, if you stand for true ethics reform and meaningful ethics reform, please rise. And there were just a small handful of our 40-some-odd senators had the courage to be able to step up and would support true ethics reform in the House and Senate.
Well, so you believe, do you think that it could be changed?
I do not think that me, myself, and I could change that. As a matter of fact, I know that I couldn't. But I will tell you that I do think that this year will be a defining year for our state. It'll certainly be a defining year for our Senate. We've got a lot of good, conservative, well-qualified candidates that are stepping themselves up and offering themselves as candidate for some of these seats that are held by very, very powerful, long-time serving senators who are very resistant to change.
Now, speaking of that, long-term, I just heard the word long-term. We do seem to get our senators and our House of Representatives. It seems two things. One, either somebody gets in there and they realize that, number one, they cannot support themselves with the money that you make there, and they're jeopardizing their job that they have doing something else, so they don't stay. Or they get in there and they stay a very long time. Personally, I think that it becomes easy on everybody just to reelect the same person over and over. We, as the public, are, whether we like it or not, we like to feel comfortable. Me and the media, I love to be able to pick up that phone and call somebody that I've had a long-standing relationship with. I hate having to start over.
Sure.
But what do you think about term limits and about how long some of our legislatures have been there?
It does become very easy to be able to punch that ballot for at least the person that you know. You might not always agree with their voting record, but it's kind of like the evil that you know is better than what you don't know.
I guess we could use case in point. Everybody has used him as a punching bag, Lindsey Graham.
Absolutely.
Senator
Lindsey
Graham's
a prime example. And listen, we talk about Lindsey Graham a little bit, and you can relate back to closed primaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason we have Lindsey Graham over and over and over. Back to what we were discussing with the term limits, it's very difficult to self-imposed term limits and without fundamentally changing the structure of the House and Senate. I would like to have elected representatives that will serve no more than 8 years. I feel like that if you can't accomplish what you set out to accomplish in 8 years, you probably ought to find yourself another job. The Americans and South Carolinians are sick and tired of career politicians, and I think that you're seeing that this year. If you look at some of our presidential candidates that have come out and are doing very, very well, those are not career politicians. So that should be a very key indicator to the people.
On a state level, though, what do you think? Because right now the House runs every 2 years, and our senators run every 4 years?
That's correct.
4 years? What do you think?
All right. Right now, if I'm elected as a state senator to represent District 4, most likely, I will be assigned to the Senate Invitations Committee, which means knowing me and as much as I stir up and try to get some change and reforms made, I will probably end up on that Senate Invitations Committee, and I'll probably be getting really, really good at sending out invitations to people.
I hope you'll send me one.
Absolutely, absolutely. you'll be first on my list.
Okay.
But my point being is, until you fundamentally change the Senate and the House and the rules and how you're appointed to committees that are powerful committees.
But if you had term limits, nobody would have the power that they have right now.
That's true. That would be a part of the fundamental restructuring. I agree 100%. And we can go back to the ethics. When you have somebody that's been there for 30 years and they have the power to be able to point you to a powerful committee so that you can actually get the bills passed that you want to get passed, that's good for your district. Until you restructure that, there's no way to do it. But that can certainly be a big part of it, is term limits, as well as the restructuring on who serves on what House or Senate Ethics Committee or whatever committee it may be.
You know, the person running against you said that he doesn't think that term limits are necessary because the public, the voter, keeps you in or votes you out.
I disagree wholeheartedly, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the case of Lindsey Graham, is a perfect example. I mean, that's probably the most glaring example we have in the state of South Carolina. people get accustomed to doing the same things over and over and over, and they know that person.
And
they may not agree with them.
And he has a lot of power.
And they have a lot of power.
And if you need something, you can pick up that phone and call his office and start getting somewhere. I personally have been to his offices in Washington, D.C. He has the whole end of a hallway.
Yeah, I've personally gotten those generic letters that most any of you who have ever written Lindsey Graham have gotten those letters back that are, Dear Sir or Madam, thank you for contacting us. We'll look into it, and that's about the best you ever get out of them. So absolutely, we definitely need some changes with regards to term limits and closed primaries.
Okay, so that would be something that you would be working towards.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors when we come back. I hope you are looking up Rocky, R-O-C-K-E-Y, Burgess, right on your computer, on your smartphone, or go to his Facebook page. The tricky part is it's R-O-C-K-E-Y. Check out his positions. Check out what he said. If you've got a question, pick up that phone. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. How do you feel about what you're hearing here today? Check it out on Facebook. Check us out. We will be posting an audio of this tomorrow morning, so you'll have plenty of time to listen to it again. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones, too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. I'm right back here with Rocky Burgess. He is the other person on the ballot for Tuesday for Senate seat 4. So I really hope you'll take a look at Rocky, see what he brings to the table. I guess probably one of the things that you bring to table is that, number one, you are a business person.
That's true. I've owned a company since 2005, and I just acquired another one last week. And
what'd you acquire?
Well, it was kind of a unique situation. My company that I have, Altec, located in Williamston, we're a technology company, and we do fiber optics, voice and data, stuff like that, primarily in large commercial buildings. Schools is a big market of ours. So we had a company that was looking for a purchaser called Vibrant Communications up in the Anderson area. They're a wireless internet service provider. And so me and two other business partners purchased it last week. So that's a new venture we got going on, and we hope to be able to expand that out maybe one day to the Greenwood market for some of you who do not have high-speed internet and you're available in your area. We'd certainly love to accommodate you at some point in time in the future.
Well, that's that brings up a question now. Do you have the time to go down there 4 days or 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, be down there, and then come back and work in your own business? How will that be for you? Because you're not really making any money down there doing this.
That's true. And I've got it set up right now where my company, I've got some really, the good Lord has blessed me with a staff that is second to none. I mean, I've got some really, really good key staff that are able to oversee operations of my company. I do come in. I get up. I'm at the crack of dawn. I get up at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, have a cup of coffee, have a little me time and a little devotion time, and then I go to the office, pour over reports, see what's going on, make sure everything's running smoothly. And by 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm usually doing campaign stuff and doing that from 8 to 10 o'clock. And I've started that around February, so it's worked out fairly well. And I do think I will have the time, certainly, to be able to do that. And keep in mind, they're only in session Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Through June.
And they're not all-day sessions either, by the way.
Well, no. I mean, but, you know, they are working hard down there.
Sure. They are?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That was a little facetious.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Well,
but they are trying, and there is a lot of committees and everything. Now, have you thought about, other than the invitation committee, any of the other committees you'd like to serve on, Rocky?
I believe I would like to serve on something related with business. Maybe it might be labor and commerce. I'm one of my strong points, and one thing that I've studied a lot on is economic development. And I think economic development is very, very important for our area.
Well, when you're talking about economic development, and we certainly have been able, I think the governor's done a great job along with their with the Economic Development Commission to bring in a lot of businesses. But now one of the issues that seems to be on everybody's mind, of course, is the roads and how we're going to deal with the roads. Now, they've just approved, I believe the Senate approved $4 million additional dollars for this year into the budget, but it's not forever. It's this year in the budget. What do you think about a gas tax? I mean, that's been the big question, I think, to tax or not to tax. What do you think?
Well, it was actually $400 million, not
$400 million. I'm sorry, $400 million.
And I'll tell you very quickly, briefly, my thoughts on. I've got a little bit different spin on it than most of your other folks. As a business owner, it's my job to be able to look and see where there's waste, cut that waste, eliminate that waste, make us efficient, and again, transparent and accountable. Right now, if you were to ask who's in charge of roads in this state, there is absolutely nobody, unless you want to count the 200-some-odd legislators in Columbia. There's nobody accountable for roads. The governor's not accountable. DOT certainly not accountable. What I would do, I think this year, we definitely have to have meaningful reform with DOT. We have to get the legislature's hands out of the mix. Right now, everybody's showing up. The DOT commission, which by the way is appointed by the legislature, and which under examination by I forget which committee it was, you actually had the DOT commissioner openly admit that he has an allegiance to who put him there in that office. So that's a major problem for me. And we this is not new. This is something we've been through and tried to eliminate for a while. Or at least made half efforts to try to eliminate the legislature's hands being in the mix. But we're doing projects that are unnecessary, certainly not prioritized, and nobody really knows at this point how much money it will actually take to get our roads and bridges into good condition. So this year, I do support that $400 million additional, but what I would do a little bit differently than what's been proposed is I would send that $400 million out to the local county C funds committees. Okay, based on the road mileage in that county. Nobody knows any better the condition of the roads in Greenwood and which roads need attention better than the people who serve on those committees that drive on those roads every single day. If you send that money to Columbia, I can almost guarantee you it's going to be diverted to Florence. It's going to be diverted to the places
Myrtle
where
Beach,
people
Charleston,
hold
Somerville.
To the place where those senators hold power.
Right.
If the system stays as is, Senate District 4, I don't care who's elected, we'll get the short end of the stick. You're going to have a freshman senator no matter what.
Right.
Okay? We were very fortunate in having Senator O'Dell had some clout up there. He was able to get things done for this district. As I say again, no matter who comes in, we're going to get the short end of the stick unless we fundamentally reform DOT. This is the year to do that. I agree that $400 million is not recurring revenue that can be used for roads. We should not be using general fund tax dollars for roads. We have a sales tax on gasoline that should be used for roads. Now keep in mind about approximately one third of that gasoline tax funds mass transit as well as trails. Now I love mass transit and I love trails. They're great. But is that an appropriate use of the gasoline tax? I would think not. It's a stretch to try to take the gasoline tax from its intended purpose, its originally intended purpose, and funnel that back over to trails and mass transit. It's just not appropriate use for those funds.
Well, not only that, we have one of the lowest gas taxes in the country.
Certainly. And that also helps our local economy, too, by the way.
Sure.
Gasoline will not always be at $1.50 or $1.80 now a gallon. Look at how much gasoline has increased in the past 2 weeks, and
yes,
you'll see. It's a very, very fluid market, and it's something we have to be very, very careful of. Anytime we look at any kind of type of increase in taxes, whether it be gasoline or property taxes.
Just out of curiosity, do you think a gas tax would be an increase, would be a good thing or not? Let me just tell you what I have heard.
Okay,
I have heard. You know, the governor has come on very strong that she is not willing to do a gas tax unless there is a equal taking away from the taxes on the other end here.
And by the way, that does need to happen. Our property taxes are too high in this area compared to our neighboring states. So
yes.
I would agree with that.
Okay. But I didn't understand why she wanted to do that. And it was explained to me the other day. And if it's right, I think it's a very good description. If it was put to the gas tax and something was taken off on the other side so it was, quote, revenue neutral, what we would have is money that would exactly go to the roads. And the trails and the other that you're talking about. But there would be no question, and we wouldn't be taking the money out of general funds because more money would be going specifically towards the roads.
I would agree with that. This year, like I said, we have to fundamentally change DOT. Next year.
Should it be under the governor's parlance?
Absolutely.
Yes.
We've got to have somebody accountable. Who are we going to point a finger at right now? There's nobody you can point a finger at. Nobody.
So that's number one that needs to happen to bring it out from under.
Keep in mind, DOT, look at their budget since 2000, how much it's increased. It's increased dramatically, yet our roads and bridges have been no better condition.
Well, I understand part of the problem is they went out and built all these new roads, but forgot about the roads that were already there that needed care.
Absolutely. Our priorities are way out of whack. You have DOT, who has somewhat of a plan together to prioritize roads, and then you got the State Infrastructure Bank, which funds all these major projects. Neither one of them are operating on the same plan or the same sheet of music. They only have one common thing in common with one another, and that's Senator Hugh Leatherman, the man with the many hats that wields all the power in this state.
Absolutely. You know you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to continue for just a couple minutes here so we can finish up on some of the issues that are out there. You know, you bring up a very interesting point. Even though your opponent is in the House right now, you're saying that he will have no better chance at getting committee assignments?
That's 100% correct. You will go in as a freshman senator. That side of the state house is totally different from the other side.
Okay, because I know a lot of people have thought that it would benefit to have him in that office.
In my opinion, it will actually be a detriment to House District Number 7, and the reason being, we will end up with a freshman House member and a freshman senator. You look at the other parts of Anderson County, in particular. You guys are fortunate that you got Floyd, Senator
Nicholson.
Floyd and Nicholson in this area. He's been there for a good little while. But over in my area, in the Anderson area, most of our senators and House members are fairly new.
Okay, so I just wanted to make that point. So when you're weighing that side of it, that isn't really a issue. The only advantage maybe would be that he's been down there in Columbia some.
Well, I would say that's an advantage for House District Number 7. If you happen to be fortunate enough to live in House District Number 7, I would encourage you to vote Mike Gambrell for House, and that's my little plug for Representative Gambrell.
but for Senate?
No, not for Senate. Definitely not for Senate. I think he'll do a much better job in the House.
Okay, all right. But for you, would you say you're the best candidate then for the Senate?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Now, I want to give you a couple of minutes here just to tell the people why they need to vote for you, what makes you different, what sets you apart, because I tell you what, this is important for Greenwood and for Anderson. Nobody thought anything would happen with Senator Billy O'Dell. He was our heart. We miss him terribly. We've got to turn the page, though, and move forward. So, Rocky, why do you think that you are good for the constituency right here in Greenwood?
Sure. Like I said, I'm a lifelong resident of Senate District 4. I travel through Greenwood all the time. I have a great deal of respect for the people of Greenwood, and I do believe that Greenwood is an important part of Senate District 4. I'm a small businessman. I understand how to fix problems. That's the one thing that I do, and I do very, very well, is be able to recognize a problem, come up with creative, conservative solutions to those problems, and generally works out very, very well. I learn from mistakes. When I make a mistake, I generally don't make the same mistake twice. I learn from them. And like I said, I think that it would be, we can take conservative principles, and by the way, I'm a diehard conservative. I take my conservative principles, I apply them toward almost every aspect of my life. And it works out very, very well, my life, my business. And I think that we can take those same conservative principles and apply them to almost every single aspect of state and local government and come out a winner for our area.
And you won't forget Greenwood here.
I will not forget Greenwood. Greenwood's very important. By the way, can I put a little plug in right quick?
Sure.
For those of you from Greenwood, I'm sure that you're very familiar with the Jake Bartley Band. Those are some great, great guys.
Yep.
They're your local hometown crew. I grew up with listening to the Swingin' Medallions, and I think they had a connection to them many years ago.
Well, heck, yep.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Jake is his
great,
son. Yep.
Great people. Great, great people. They played up in my neck of the woods several times, and I've became very good friends with those guys. And Friday, we're going to have them in Williamston at the Williamston Park. We're going to do a campaign rally where you get a chance to meet me, ask me questions, and sit back and enjoy some good music by the Jake Bartley Band. We're going to have some barbecue out there.
That sounds like a regular campaign.
It's going to be a regular campaign, but listen, I would love to have it here in Greenwood. The problem was we tried to search for a venue. We wanted to stay within the district.
Right.
Just so, you know, the people in Greenwood don't know me. I want to give them that opportunity to know me.
Sure.
The problem was we'd have to have it downtown, which is a section of Greenwood that we would not have the people who could actually vote who needed to meet me and talk to me. So,
sure.
In short notice, we found the venue, and that's going to be at Williamston Mineral Spring Park. They got an amphitheater down there. I would certainly love to have your listening audience come visit me in Williamston. Come see us. Bring your lawn chair. We're going to have some barbecue. We're going to have some good music. We should have some good times there Friday evening from 6 to 10. This Friday,
and how do you get
April
to Willi- how do you get to Williamston from here?
Well, you go north till you smell it and east till you step in. You there? No. You Highway 25 to the Ware Place, as they call it, the
right.
Ware Place. Hang a left on Highway 8, and that'll bring you right into downtown Pelzer. Hang a left on 20, and 20 will run you right slap dab into Williamston. It's a beautiful park, beautiful area. I'm proud to call it home, and I hope that your listeners will be able to come out and meet me and enjoy some a good evening on Friday.
Well,
it's 100% free to them too, by the way, with the exception of your food. If you order from the barbecue truck, they'll charge you for your food, but other than that, it's 100% free.
How about that? Well, that sounds like a good time. I know that overall, did you anticipate the experience that this has been for you?
It has definitely been an enlightening experience. I had no earthly idea what I was getting myself into. I'm glad that I did it, and I'll do it again. I've certainly enjoyed it. This gave me an opportunity to meet great people like yourself and a lot of the listeners in Greenwood I know I've talked to on the phone, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. It's amazing to me, Ann, to ride down this far to Greenwood and see signs, supporters, in yards of people. I have no earthly idea who it is. It's a very humbling experience. It really is. Good Lord's been good to me.
Absolutely. Now, Rocky, R-O-C-K-E-Y.
E-Y.
Okay. Burgess, B-U-R-G-E-S-S. How do they get in contact with you if they've heard this today and they say, I've got more questions? How can they call you?
864-844-2400 is my personal cell. You can reach me by email at Rocky with an EY at rockyburgess.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook, and would love to answer your questions there for all the general public to see.
Absolutely.
And please feel free to go like our page. We have a lot of good information being dispersed out there. I also created, there was a major issue with people trying to figure out if they lived in Senate District 4. I've created a spreadsheet a couple of days ago that you'll find on my Facebook page as well that will have all the precincts that are affected by this race, that Greenwood, Abbeville, as well as Anderson County. So that's a very, very helpful link.
And so that's on your Facebook page?
Absolutely, it is.
And that's Rocky Burgess, is it just your name? Or
just if you search Rocky Burgess, you'll find me there, and then I'll probably send you a request to like our actual formal Senate page as well.
Now, just for the record, you win this on Tuesday, but you don't actually get to serve until the election, do you?
That's correct. You won't actually take office, I think, till June, and the Senate goes out of session in June.
It's May. It's May, isn't it? The election is in May, and then the Senate goes out in June.
So you'll basically go in, I'll warm a chair for a few days and get some nice invitations out for I will be in campaign mode all year round this year. I have filed, by the way, for the general election in November.
Okay.
So I've got a primary coming up in June as well. And like I said, me and Representative Gambrell has filed, I filed, and then Mark Powell's filed as a Democrat. So
it's going to be an interesting time.
It will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we'll have to have you back again, Rocky.
Sure.
All right.
I'd love to.
This has been a lot of fun getting to know Rocky Burgess right here on WCRS. That's going to do it for us. Remember, you can call him 864-844-2400. Check out his page, Rocky, R-O-C-K-E-Y, Burgess, B-U-R-G-E-S-S, .com. And don't forget to check out his Facebook page. Don't forget, even though this is not a huge election, it is a huge election on Tuesday. Every vote here in Greenwood, Abbeville, Anderson will count. Please make your vote count by going out and doing your duty and voting for the candidate of your choice. Rocky, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.